We sang that hymn that says, "Write on my heart every word." There's a scripture that says it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Grace. That's the title, the subject of this message. Grace. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Brother Gene, you talk about a scripture that's been worn out. If I was going to turn to a passage of scripture, if you wanted to turn to a passage of scripture to tell somebody the truth. And I venture to say most everyone in here, when they first really heard the truth of God's sovereign, electing, saving grace in Jesus Christ, it was Ephesians 1, but, or maybe Romans 9. Or maybe Genesis 1. but, oh my. Never get tired of these things, do you? Never get tired of them. This is our story. This is my story. How the Lord saved me by His sovereign grace. Is that your story? It's the story of every child of God. Grace. Grace means gift. Salvation is by grace. Through faith. And that is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. It's all His work. His work. Salvation is by grace. It's a gift. Now, it's not, most people think of grace, they call grace, false preachers say grace is an offer of God. No, that's what they say. God offers you grace and you're saved if you do something with it. That's not the grace of God. That's not the salvation of God. Salvation is not an offer of God, it's an act of God. Salvation is not a cooperative effort between God and man. It's an operation of God. Not cooperation, an operation of God. God does all the work, and He does it through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit. Look at it with me again. And to write the same, to preach the same things, it's not grievous. I remember years ago, my dad, when he was winding down. Actually, when he started winding down, he got wound up. But he started preaching the old messages. He's going back. He said, "I'm going to just preach the old message." And he went back and preached on the Cain and Abel and the brazen serpent and the manna and the smitten rock and Mephibosheth and Ruth and all those old. You ever get tired of that? You see, those that tell me the story, tell it to those that know it best, seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. This is how you know that God has established your heart with grace. Is you, this is what you want to hear. This is who you need to hear. And you never tire of. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul. That's how he addresses himself, Paul. Someone asked me one time, "What should I call you?" I said, "Well, Paul, that's my name." I know these men, like me, still not very comfortable when somebody even addresses you as a pastor. Do you? You feel so unworthy. Paul, perhaps the greatest of all the apostles. What's your name? Paul. John, the last Old Testament prophet. What's your name? A voice. A voice. Our names are not important, are they? We are not important. I tell you who is. Jesus Christ is. It was George Whitefield that once said, "Let the name of George Whitefield perish from the earth. Let the name of Jesus Christ be praised." Paul. Not reverend, not doctor, not father, not most holy, right reverend Paul. Paul. And he'll tell you his story. "I was saved by grace. It was all the grace of God. I was a false preacher. I was a heretic. I was injured. I was blasphemer. But when the grace of God came to me." Paul, an apostle. That means a messenger. Small a, doesn't it? Small a. Apostle. A messenger of Jesus Christ. By the will of God. Everything is by the will of God, isn't it? Man doesn't have free will. He doesn't have a free will. You can't say, man can't say, "I will do anything." He hopes to. Man has a want to, but he doesn't have an absolute will. You can't even say, I will breathe 30 seconds from now. Can you? You can't add one cubit to your stature, one hair to your head. Believe me, if you could add a hair to your head, we'd have done it a long time ago, wouldn't we, Brother Drew? You can't do it. Or one cubit to your stature. And what do you have that you have not received? It's by grace. By the will of God. Everything's by the will of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Here's the difference between the God who is God and the God that men claim to be God, figment of their imagination. The God that most people believe is a God that they let be God. A God who says, if you will, I shall. Isn't that what they say? If you're willing, God shall. The God of the Bible says, I will and you shall. That's the difference. He worketh all things. That's what verse 10 says. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 11. God does all things after his own will. He said, I will and you shall. By the will of God. Aren't you glad everything by the will of God? All right, this is to the saints. What does that mean? Sanctified one. Set apart. Made holy. Consecrated to God. Shall be offered up to God someday. Given to God. Huh? Who does that? Pope in Rome? Oh no. One much higher than him. The great potentate. King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ said, I have sanctified thee. I have sanctified myself that they also might be sanctified. By the which will we're sanctified. By the Lord Jesus Christ. His will. He's the one that makes saints. To the saints which are at Ephesus or at the Madisonville. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That just simply means those who have faith in Christ Jesus. There's only one faith in it. One Lord, one faith is given to them by this one Lord. And that faith is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul preached his final message to the Ephesians elders, he said, I preached repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's preaching. Repentance toward God against whom we have sinned and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only acceptance in Jesus Christ. There's only mercy in Jesus Christ. There's only love in Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in two words, in Christ. All through this, you know these verses, many of them, most of them. All through the scriptures, salvation is to be found in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you get in Christ? How do you get in Christ? Well, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of God are you in Christ. How did Noah and his family get in that ark? Huh? Did they of their free will decide to go in that ark? Oh, no. God called them. It says that God was in that ark and said, come. And they came. And they were in that ark. Salvation is to be found in Jesus Christ. When the overflowing scourge of God's wrath comes nigh, it won't come nigh you if you're in Jesus Christ. Like that ark, like Noah's ark. Only those in Christ were loved by God. Only those in Christ were saved by God. Only those in Christ had the mercy of God, the acceptance of God. Right? Everyone outside of Christ was hated by God. Hated by God. Right? It's in Christ. Salvation in Christ. And if you have this faith, it's sovereign. It's a sovereign gift of God. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. God's given you this wonderful gift. The gift of life, the gift of repentance, the gift of faith, the gift of righteousness. It's all a gift, a free gift. Bestowed. Not offered. Bestowed. By grace. Peace, peace, peace with God. God who's angry with the wicked every day. And we don't make our peace with God, do we? How do we have peace with God? How does a sinner who's offended God, how does a rebel against God, what if a rebel, what if a criminal stood before the throne or the bar of a judge and said, I've decided to let you accept me. I've decided to let you pardon me. What would that judge do? Bind him hand and foot and cast him in that jail, wouldn't he? And that's what God's going to say to all those who claimed, accepted him, and let him save them and all that. Oh, no. Peace is obtained with God one way. Jesus Christ, by the blood of his cross. The chastisement of the peace of God's people, necessary for them to have peace with God, was laid on Jesus Christ. And by his stripes we're healed. Peace with God. Grace and peace from God our Father. Why is anyone a child of God? The children of flesh are not the children of God, but the children of sovereign, electing, adopting grace. Why is your last name Edmonds? Because you were adopted, weren't you? Did you choose him? Did he choose you? That's the same with God. You don't, we're not born his children. We're adopted as his children, chosen, and then born again. And we don't get born. He begets us with the word of truth. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. And we're children of God. Christ is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God, and we're chosen in him. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Paul talks about the blessings of God. All right? It's a popular saying today, a popular salutation. You see it, you hear it. And you go in the gas station or the grocery store, don't you? Somebody says, have a blessed day. Say it all the time. What they mean by that is, I hope you don't have a flat tire. Or I hope you don't get sick. Or I hope everything goes well for you. I hope you have, you get your bills paid. I hope all these material things. Blessing. That's what they consider blessing. Paul doesn't mention in these verses one single material thing. Not one. He said, this is the blessing. These are the blessing. And this is the blessing of blessing. The blessings of blessing is to be found in Christ in that great day. That's the great blessing. And here it is. All right, here's the first thing. Here's sovereign electing grace. Electing grace. And brethren, it's no coincidence that the name, the word grace and the name Christ sound alike. Grace, Christ, Christ, grace. Sounds similar, doesn't it? That's because they're synonymous. You can substitute the word grace with the name of Christ everywhere in the Scripture. By grace are you saved. By Christ are you saved. Electing grace. Elect in Christ. It's all in Christ. Grace. He is the grace of God. He is the gift of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What's that? Not a what. To who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. Sovereign electing grace. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Sovereign electing grace. You ever get tired of hearing that? If you've been elected, you don't. Who believes election? The elect do. You have to believe in election to be saved? Well, if you're saved, you do. That's a silly question. God's people don't ask that question. Ask Abraham. Abraham, did you choose God? He choose you. He said, what a stupid question. I was an idolater. I didn't know God, wasn't seeking God. I had it all figured out. Didn't know who God was, but God. 75 years old. What can you teach a 75-year-old person? Nothing, but God did.
Yes, sir.
Ask any child of God. You choose God, he choose you. Are you kidding? Ask Jacob. Jacob, are you seeking the Lord? No. Ask Saul of Tarsus. Saul, did you choose him? Did he choose you? Do you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Saul of Tarsus? I was blind, injurious, a blasphemer. Thought I knew God, doing what he did. I didn't know God. Didn't know Jesus Christ. I was out to wipe the name of Jesus out. But the Lord Jesus Christ found me one day and put me on my knees in the dust and just revealed to me, I am your Lord. Not, will you accept me? He told me right then and there, I'm your Lord from this day forward. Aren't I? Yes, sir, you are. He chose me. Only an unbeliever would ask a question like that. I get tired of trying to explain it. Yes, you have to believe it. If you believe in God, you believe he elected you. Don't apologize for God's truth. This is where it all started, isn't it, Brother James? This is where the truth started. When God, before the world began, chose a people and gave them to Jesus Christ. Where it all started. That's where everything started, with God's sovereign choice and will to save a people. None of them were worth saving. But God chose a people and gave them to Christ. And Christ came to save them. None of them deserved it, but that's who he came to save. Unless anybody's got a problem with that, they shouldn't have. Nobody should deserve to be saved. If God saved one person, that person would be in heaven for the rest of their days praising God for his sovereign electing grace, for choosing me. But God, rich in mercy, has chosen a people as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Why? Because it just seemed good. Somebody said, now my pastor's first one I heard use this. He said, and somebody asked you, or if you're talking to somebody about this thing of election, deal with them according to God's word. Okay? What does God's word say? All right? Ask them, did you choose God? Did he choose you? According to Scripture. Well, Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us. All right? If he chose you, when did he choose you? According to Scripture. After you believe? No. According as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. All right, why? Why did he choose you? Because you're a good boy? No, verse 5 says, according to the good pleasure of his will. Because he did. That's why. They said to our Lord, you can't do that. He said, I just did. That's what makes him God. That's who he is. According as he hath chosen us in Christ. Brother Spurgeon once said, I know that it was the Lord that chose me, because I sure didn't choose him. And I know he had to choose me before I was born, because if he'd have waited till after I was born, he sure wouldn't have chosen me then. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, that cannot be. For if thou hast not chosen thee, I would have never chosen thee. Is that you? I didn't give God a thought. I wasn't interested in God. The only reason I am now is because he chose me. You hath he chosen. Of course, he hath chosen us. That's sovereign electing grace. All right, here's predestinating grace. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Predestinating grace. I used to work on a railroad. I worked there 12 years. And there was a fella on that railroad who was one of these so-called preachers. Always smiling all the time. Beware of dogs that smile all the time. Preachers, smiling preachers. All right, he could get along with everybody there but me. And one time I was talking to him about these things, about the truth. And he said to me, that smile got all wiped off his face, and he grit his teeth, and the veins came out on his neck, and he said, I'll believe anything but that predestination. I believe anything. And he did. He believed anything. And that's everybody else. I believe anything but that. I'll accept anything but God being God. You know, the thing that men hate about God's sovereign electing grace, predestining grace, that God is sovereign in salvation and the will of God being sovereign in all things, the thing they hate is that it takes everything out of their hands. It takes man's destiny out of his hand. And that everybody hates that. You know, the child of God, that's the very thing they love about it. It takes our destiny out of our hands and puts it totally in the hands of Him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in His own blood. Takes everything completely out of our hands and puts them in the hands of our sovereign God. Boy, that's where I want my destiny, don't you? If it's left to me, anything is left up to me, I'm a goner. If He ever takes His hand off of us, we're a goner. We're kept by the power of God. Preserved, reserved unto salvation. Ready to be revealed. Predestination. I love it. Don't you love that God has predetermined everything concerning us, concerning our children, concerning this world? Don't you love it? Don't you love it? You can go to sleep at night. False religion says God didn't want that to happen. Bad things happen. God didn't want to happen. Then why didn't He do something? Something bad happened. God didn't want that to happen. Well, who did it? Well, Satan did it. We couldn't stop him. Then he's no more powerful than Satan. Well, why don't you pray to Satan? Get him to stop. No, our comfort, our peace is that God does it all. I'm the Lord, I do all things. We don't understand, but we're going to have to wait, aren't we? And we're going to wait and we're going to see that God did all things well. All things predestinated. Even the hair on your head are numbered. He said, not a hair of your head falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. He says, there's not a bird in the forest that falls to the ground that God didn't purpose it. Predestination. It's just another word that describes our God. Predestinating grace. And everything about God's people, predestination is all good. It's all good. Romans 8:28. You know that scripture. We know, God's people know, that all things work together for good. Why? Who's working them? God is. And they're working together for good. It's all good. Though we don't see it now, we will. Look at the back of a tapestry, you know. It all seems like a jumbled mess of threads, doesn't it? We don't see any connection of any of those things. You turn it around, and what you'll see is everything perfectly connected, a glorious, beautiful picture of the kingdom of God, all these people in it, all connected, all the events in their life, everything in their life, and right in the middle, one big face, the face of Jesus Christ. All of them surrounding Him, in Him. We don't know, but He does. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why does anybody love God? This God, the true God, God who is God. Why? Because He first loved them. They're born of God. And he put in them the love of God, the love for His Son, the love for the truth, the love for His people, all that love God, who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate, whom He did predestinate, He called by our gospel, the gospel. There's only one gospel. The gospel I'm preaching right now. The gospel this man preaches. The gospel that man preaches. The gospel that man preaches. There's only one gospel. Everybody's not preaching it. Is this your gospel, Brother Drew? Is this your gospel, Brother Gene? This is it. There is no other gospel. Anybody preaching anything else is not the gospel that Maurice preached for so long, that my dad preached for so long. This is the gospel. Concerning God's will, God's purpose, God who purposed all things. Maybe everybody hadn't heard this story, and I love telling it. Most of you know my father, Henry Mayhem. But there was an evangelist that came into Ashland, Kentucky in 1950 named Rolf Barnard. Heard his name. My dad was an Arminian false preacher. He was a pastor of the largest Southern Baptist church in Eastern Kentucky, 1,000 members. He'd tell you that they all weren't in service every Sunday. But pastor of the largest church in Eastern Kentucky, 1,000 members. He didn't know God. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know the truth. Rolf Barnard came to town, evangelist. And he was preaching what I'm preaching. He's preaching the truth. And my dad was sitting on the front row with my mother. Zealous, just like Saul of Tarsus. Zealous, exceedingly zealous. Thought he knew God, didn't know God. Thought he knew Christ, talked about Jesus. Like all these false preachers did. And Rolf Barnard said to him, "Young man, stand up and quote Romans 8:28. Have you heard that? He said, "Stand up and quote Romans 8:28. Well, Dad was 26 years old. He stood up and said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And he sat down. And Barnard, Dad said, they used to call him Old Brother Barnard. He said he was 45 years old. And he had glasses and he looked over at you all the time like that. And he said, "You didn't quote all of it. Stand up and quote it all." And Dad stood up and said, "And we know that all things..." You know, now he's really nervous. "Now, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God or the called according to purpose." And he said, Barnard screamed at the top of his lungs, "Purpose! Purpose. God does everything on purpose." He said, "If you want to know something about the God of the Bible, learn about his purpose. That God purposed all things before the foundation of the world. Salvation is not by chance. Salvation is not by accident. Salvation is not by the will of man. It's by the purpose of God. And God purposed everything in Jesus Christ. He created his whole universe for the purpose of glorifying his Son. Salvation is for the purpose of glorifying his grace. It's all on purpose." And aren't you glad? God's people are glad. Everything that happens to us happens on purpose. And Barnard told that young Armenian false preacher and his wife, he said, "You and your pretty little wife here." That's what he said, "Y'all go home and take the book of Romans and open it up and ask the Lord to reveal himself to you." And they did. And he did. And now you know the rest of the story. And like Saul of Tarsus, Brother Gene, my dad renounced all that religion. Renounced it all. Church split down the middle. 40 families left. Formed 13th Street Baptist Church. I was born the year that church was established. Buddy, I cut my teeth on grace. And I'm thankful. Predestinated grace. Here it is, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. See, that's what it's all about. Praise of glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This is sovereign accepting grace. Why does God accept any sinner? It's not because of anything we do. It's because of everything Jesus Christ did. This is the verse on the sign out in front of our church. Huh? To the praise of the glory of his grace. Accepted. Now's the acceptable time, the scripture said. God is accepting sinners. Nowhere does God say, "Will you accept my son?" That's not it. He's not up for acceptance or rejection. We are. And why does he accept anybody? Because of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes on Jesus Christ, and the only reason they do is by sovereign electing grace, the gift, the faith. But whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is accepted, received. In fact, every single person who really trusts and believes and looks to the Lord Jesus Christ only as their hope, as their peace, as their righteousness, as their salvation, as their only acceptance with God, God's accepted. Come on in. Sovereign accepting grace. Do you want to be accepted for what you are or what you've done? Do you want to stand before the throne of God and be judged for whether or not you come into heaven on the merits of what you've done? Or free gifts? Or what Christ has done? Oh, hide me. Hide me. Oh, my Savior, hide me. And everybody in Christ, hidden, covered, is accepted. Accepting grace. Look at that. Where am I? Verse verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, redeeming grace. Anybody have any redeeming qualities? Anybody? Oh my. But Christ does. He's the Redeemer, isn't he? Huh? And he gave himself for us. Did God accept his son? Did God accept his sacrifice? Did God accept everything? Is God well pleased in Christ? Yes, he is. And so he's well pleased with those that he came for, those that he redeemed, those that he represented. Oh, we're redeemed through his blood. Forgiving grace. Here it is, forgiving grace. Forgiveness is sovereign in it. It's always sovereign. You don't let somebody forgive you. They decide. Forgiving grace. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. You know that? Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. If you're guilty, you know, it's completely up to the person whom you've offended to show you forgiveness. Right? And God, frankly, freely, eternally forgives all those who come to him by Jesus Christ on the merit because of what Jesus Christ did. He's frankly forgiven all. Oh my, why'd you do that? Because of my son. Because I'm a good God. Because I'm merciful. Because I'm gracious. Because I did. Forgiving grace. And forgiveness means forgetting. You've never really forgiven somebody until you've totally forgotten the transgression. That's right. God's people are not on probation. They don't have any sins to their account. They're gone. God is well pleased, satisfied, forgiven, and is forgotten. Completely forgotten, gone, forgiven in grace. According to the riches of his grace, verse 8, he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This is abounding grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much more. He made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's revealing grace. Verse 10, in the fullness of time, verse 9 says, according to his good pleasure, he purposed in himself. In the dispensation of the fullness of time, he gathered together in one all things in Christ. That's gathering grace. Oh my, you know why anybody going to be in heaven someday? Because God chose them and God gathered them in Christ, had Christ died for them. The Spirit of Christ was sent to gather them up. And he does it through the preaching of the gospel. And we're all of God's elect going to stand there someday just amazed that they've been gathered together with God's people. We're all just going to say, for lack of a better way, I can't believe it. I can't believe that I'm here. I wouldn't be here at all if God hadn't chose me, if Christ hadn't died for me, if the Spirit of God hadn't sent the gospel to call me, and if Christ hadn't kept me all those years and it hadn't gathered me, I wouldn't be here at all. Gathering grace. There's 100 more, but I'm not going to give to you. But it here does say in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinate. There's that word again. But inheriting grace. Inheriting grace. My folks, Brother Gene, they don't have much. They don't have much. And, you know, don't know if they're going to be in assisted living, you know, in the days ahead and spend up whatever there is to, don't have much. But, well, my Heavenly Father does. What are you going to inherit? Him. And with him all things. Joint heirs with Christ. My. And then it goes on down to talk about how you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealing grace. Sealing grace. Why did Noah and his family stay in that ark? You think after a while they might not want to get out of that ark? Couldn't get out. Sealed. Pitched. Somebody shut them in. Then that's sealing grace. What about you? What do you think about grace? How were you saved? Huh? What do you mean, grace? This is what God's people know. By grace, you say. Sovereign, electing, redeeming, calling, keeping, saving, redeeming, accepting grace. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.